new base. And since he took his entire family with him, the military chaplain on the base asked the sergeant's wife if she would enroll the children in religious education program. And the chaplain explained that since the curriculum on every base was the same, they would not have any trouble picking up from where they left off at the last base. But the mother said, really, that doesn't quite work so smoothly, because in practice, the children have gotten Moses to the Red Sea 3 times now, and each time they did, the family had been transferred to a new base. And when they got to the new base each time, Moses was always on the other side, and they still haven't found out how he got there. Now that happens to be true this morning of a number of us. We wonder how we got here, and perhaps even why we're here. And if we don't understand, then we're going to miss the point each time that we come here. We come to church, and Jesus is alive here in spirit. We hear his holy word piercing our heart with meaning. Jesus touches us and heals us, and Jesus is praying to the Father through us. But it seems that so often we forget that at each worship experience, we have a celebration here of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The disciples of Jesus had the same problem that you do. Jesus would talk to them so often about the resurrection power of his Father, that we have a God who loves us so much, he is constantly working with his resurrection power, which is in our heart, to keep us going from day to day with renewed hope. And so often, the disciples would really get excited when Jesus would tell them that he would continue to live on even after he would die. But the problem always came when Jesus then would continue to talk to them about the price that everyone has to pay, and they did not want to hear that. They wanted no part of what Jesus said. Jesus tried to tell them that our God is a God of resurrection power. Yes. But there's always a process that God our Father must allow each of us to work through in our personal struggle with death. Unless Jesus says, it will always remain alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, and then comes the harvest. We're just like all those people who listened to Jesus and had so much difficulty assimilating that teaching of Jesus about the life, death, resurrection cycle. And we're just like those people then. We're trying always in a clever way to work out some other way of doing it. We try in this age of cleverness to find another way to discover fulfillment. In this age of cleverness, there's the story about a public relations man who described a testing procedure for anyone who applied for a position in his company. The test includes a set of problems for the job applicant to solve. One of the problems describes a situation in which a candidate for a high political office is giving a speech, and in one unguarded moment he says, I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the home of ugly women and great hockey players. Now a man in the crowd overhears and says indignantly, but my wife is from Lancaster. The problem is, what does the job applicant suggest for the politician to do to solve his dilemma? And one very clever applicant wrote in and said, the politician should say to the man, wonderful. What hockey team did she play on? You see, we will and we can be very clever in discovering many solutions. But there's one that is not able to be greater or better than the one that Jesus tells. He continues to talk about the cycle of life, death, resurrection, new life. There is no quick fix, but God is able to offer us no better way. There is always a price to be paid along the way. If we gradually through our life are going to become the beautiful, unique, fulfilled people that each of us is destined to be by the Father. It means that day by day we learn how to die 1,001 deaths to ourselves. In the spirit of what Jesus said, not my will, but your will, Father. And God's will does not mean that we're supposed to withdraw from the struggle of day-to-day living, but instead we are to follow the way of Jesus, to identify with that way, which means that each of us is a little seed with a hard shell, and each of us is planted in life-giving soil in this life. And being planted, our hard little shell begins to disintegrate, and we take root as we move out of ourselves to grow in compassion, in forgiveness, in understanding and zeal for peace and justice. The parable today had that allusion to our final physical death, and Jesus helped his disciples a great deal. He told them that he would go on living after death. I go, he said, to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. But they still continued to overlook the price. The seed always had to die before there could be new life. Three trees were talking to each other one day as they were growing up about their future. The first tree said, you know, I would like to become a cradle so that a baby could be laid in me and I could support that new life. The second tree said, I'd like to become a part of an ocean-going ship and be able to carry useful cargoes all over the oceans. And the third tree said, I really would not like to become anything else except to remain a tree and stand here pointing to heaven to show women and men that we all have a God who loves us so much. And then the trees grew up, it was harvest time, and the woodcutters came. They came to the first tree and said, we'll cut this tree down and make it into a manger. And the tree protested and said, no, I don't want to become a feed box for animals. But the woodchoppers made it into a manger, and they sold it to an innkeeper in Bethlehem. And when the Lord of all the earth was born, he was placed in that manger. And that tree became a cradle for all the world to remember. And the woodcutter said to the second tree, we'll cut this tree down and make a little fishing boat out of it. The tree said, no, I want to become a part of a giant ocean-going vessel, travel everywhere. But they cut the tree down made it into a little fishing boat, and a man by the name of Simon Peter bought it. And when all the Lord of heaven and earth needed a place to stand in as the crowds moved toward him on the seashore, the Lord of the heaven and earth proclaimed all the good news that would go across all the oceans of the world from that little fishing boat. The woodcutter said to the third tree, "You know, the Romans are paying good prices nowadays for crosses. We'll cut this tree down and sell it to them for a cross." The tree protested. But it became a cross, and the Lord of all heaven and earth was crucified on that tree. And it continued to point toward heaven to remind us all that we have a Father who loves us. Now, did you notice in that simple little story, in every case, being cut down was the price that each one had to pay for entering their glory?